Hello, this is the Westminster Standard Podcast. I'm Ryan Beasy, and I'll be reading an article that I wrote today regarding support of the PCA's agencies. We need to support the PCA's agencies. Old-school PCA confessionalists have long exhibited ambivalence toward the institutions of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's time we embraced them with a view toward making them thoroughly reformed. The PCA is largely comprised of three groups. In 2015, Brian Chappell described these groups as traditionalists, progressives, and neutrals. I don't like the label he chose for my segment of the PCA. I prefer the label old school or confessionalists. By the way, I don't think anybody likes the label he chose for their group, but as I've written elsewhere, the unified dislike of the three labels suggests that teaching Elder Chappell was at least over the target. Regardless of what label is proffered, there are largely three groups who are united together in the Presbyterian Church in America. And the two groups on each end of the spectrum both profess a love for the PCA, but their interests in the PCA are shaped by different concerns. A love for the PCA. On the traditionalist end, that is the old school confessionalists, we love the PCA because of her robust confessional commitment to the unadulterated 1788 American Westminster Standards, because the PCA represents the most mature flowering of the Scoto-American Presbyterian experience, because of her historic piety that is centered on the presbytery rather than the General Assembly, that is, grassroots, and because she is a two-office church rather than a three- or four-office denomination. In short, the traditionalists love the PCA and are drawn to the PCA because of her polity and her theology, her commitment to the truth. But there are others in the PCA who are drawn to the PCA not necessarily because of her robust Westminsterian confessional theology and her historic polity. They are eager to see how the PCA, with her institutions and cultural cachet, can influence society to restore people, places, and things. Their love for the PCA seems more centered on the PCA's agencies and institutions and what the PCA represents for the culture. Their love for the PCA is exhibited especially in an unflinching and enthusiastic support for the PCA's college and seminary, because of the opportunities for witness and cultural engagement that are afforded to the PCA through the institutions brought into the PCA with the RPCES. Likewise, this segment of the PCA seems excited about the possibility of planting 120 churches a year until 2030, and therefore they are wholeheartedly committed to MNA's models, assessments, initiatives, and programs. This is not to say the traditionalists are not motivated for evangelism, or that those on the other side are not committed to the essentials of the Reformed faith. The traditionalists, however, have been rather lackluster regarding enthusiasm for the institutions brought in with the RPCES, as well as the other agencies of the PCA. Their attention is to doctrine and the slow but steady growth from discipleship in the ordinary means of grace. A pointed critique of the PCA's agencies. On a recent episode of the Westminster Standard Podcast, we discussed the change that has taken place in the PCA since 2018 and the role of blogs and podcasts in that transformation. In 2018, the National Partnership reflected on the success they had enjoyed in shifting the trajectory of the denomination. But now, 6 years later, former members of the defunct partnership are decrying the General Assembly as broken, and others share their disappointment with the PCA's renewed commitments expressed in confessional fidelity and clarity. In the episode, one of the guest commentators relayed some anecdotes shared with him based on experiences church members had with a couple of specific PCA agencies, namely Covenant College and Reformed University Fellowship, as well as his own perception of a Covenant College promotional video. He pointedly expressed concern that some of the PCA agencies were failing to disciple men in particular, but instead accommodating cultural values he viewed as having diverged from historic Christian emphases. At least one employee of the college has understandably expressed strenuous objection to the guest commentator's critique. I note several things in this regard. First, the opinions and views expressed on the Westminster Standard Podcast are not necessarily those of Jude 3 and the PCA, First Presbyterian Church, the Tennessee Valley Presbytery, or the Presbyterian Church in America, but only those of the individual speakers who offer those particular opinions or viewpoints. Second, It is a guiding principle that guests of the Westminster Standard podcast are not edited for content. There have been numerous occasions in which guests of the podcast have said things with which I, the host, disagree. Third, when Covenant College produced a promotional video, it had hundreds of students from whom to choose for prominent placement. The editorial choices made in a promotional video might reasonably be perceived by some as indicative of the institution's values and/or to convey the sort of graduate the college is trying to produce. For some, the aesthetics of the people highlighted in the promotional video convey a message just as real as the words spoken by those people. The guest commentator shared his own perceptions and opinions along these lines. Fourth, I should have done a better job of moderating the conversation at that point and perhaps offered some pushback or requested clarification, especially since the word he used is often inflammatory due to its abuse by the Moscow crowd. The members of the congregation I serve, who are students at or recent graduates of the college, certainly do not fit the characterization offered in the anecdote shared by the guest commentator on the program. But neither have they been featured prominently in the college's promotional material. Fifth, I believe the guest commentator is going to publish some clarifying comments later this week. The old school and the PCA's agencies. Some old schoolers in the PCA have concerns regarding the philosophy, trajectory, and priorities of many of the PCA's boards and agencies. For example, Covenant College, Mission to North America, Covenant Theological Seminary, Mission to the World, and so forth. For others in the traditionalist portion of the PCA, this is more than a concern, but a strong objection to their methods and policies. The old school wing of the PCA has expressed its concern regarding certain PCA agencies in various ways. Not that long ago, one alumnus submitted an overture to release Covenant Theological Seminary from the PCA. Others have taken a less drastic course. When I was in college and trying to decide on a seminary, my grandmother offered me free housing in one of her rental properties in St. Louis if I would attend Covenant Seminary. But my elders, on the other hand, made it very clear in no uncertain terms that they would not support my decision to enroll in the denomination seminary, and they obliged themselves financially to support me through seminary at RTS Jackson. Supporting the PCA's agencies. That congregation of which I was a member during college is an exemplary school of Christ. Even as the elders expressed serious reservation regarding the agencies of the PCA, the elders of that congregation nonetheless have served faithfully in the PCA's courts, as well as on the General Assembly's committees and commission. The elders of that congregation provide a model for the best way forward for other old-school congregations in the PCA and their elders. That congregation has been very active in the planting of daughter churches throughout Western Pennsylvania. And instead of treating the agencies of the PCA with neglect or ambivalence, old schoolers should follow the example of that congregation and her elders and make support for the agencies of the PCA a priority. This does not necessarily mean that we send people to be educated at those institutions or that we give them financial support yet, but it may. Other than prayer, the best way for old school confessionalists to support the agencies of the PCA at this time is by searching for more men who share a commitment to robust, old school Presbyterianism, who will be willing to serve on the permanent committees to help shape the policies and priorities of the college, the seminary, MTW, M&A, and so forth. It's not enough to serve on a General Assembly Committee of Commissioner. Instead of neglecting the agencies of the PCA, let's be willing to serve them on the permanent committees. Aspiring for excellence. If the PCA is going to have a college or a seminary, if the PCA is going to have a pair of missionary agencies, then we should aspire to make them all exemplary in their fields. For too long, in my opinion, old schoolers have shown little interest in the PCA's agencies, except to criticize and/or respond to scandals. Instead, old schoolers in the PCA have built and supported parachurch ministries to do the work that we should be insisting that our denomination's agencies do, if we're going to have such agencies. These parachurch ministries do excellent work. In fact, many parachurch ministries are doing a better job than what some of the PCA's agencies are doing. For example, there are now more graduates of Reformed Theological Seminary ministering in the PCA than Covenant Seminary graduates. Likewise, Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary each year sends more men into PCA pulpits than does Covenant Seminary. I am not suggesting that we should now push old school and confessional ministerial candidates to attend the official PCA seminary rather than RTS or Greenville. On the contrary, old schoolers in the PCA, I believe, should focus our efforts at making Covenant Seminary better. And that starts by finding more like-minded men willing to serve on the Covenant Seminary board to change the trajectory. Rather than ignoring the seminary and the other PCA agencies, traditionalists should work to make Covenant Seminary the premier choice for ministerial candidates. That's not the reputation our seminary has at this time, but perhaps it can be in the future. Likewise, for all the agencies of the PCA, traditionalists should work to make them exemplary in their fields. We should have the finest church planting agency in the world, the finest Reformed college, the most robustly Reformed campus ministry, and so on and so forth. Willingness to support the PCA agencies by service. We old schoolers can't work to make our agencies superb by ignoring them. We need to support them by offering up more elders to serve on their permanent committees. Certainly, there is a place to raise concerns and criticisms, but we need to find men willing to serve on the permanent committees who can change the culture and commitments of PCA agencies so they will be thoroughly reformed. Are there elders in your congregation or presbytery who share a vision for a winsome, joyful, gospel-centered, old-school Westminster Presbyterianism? Perhaps then, next year, when nominations for permanent committees comes around, you would talk to them about serving on one of the assembly's permanent committees. Perhaps you are one of those men. We need to love the PCA by both showing a robust commitment to her theology and Reformed heritage and also a commitment to her institutions to ensure her agencies propagate that glorious faith once for all delivered to the saints and summarized in the Westminster Standards. Well, this has been Ryan Beasy reading an article that I published today. I hope you'll come back next week for another new episode of the Westminster Standard podcast, this time with Zach Groff, Professors Jay Bruce, and Matt Lee, as we discuss a study that Ruling Elder Lee has completed on exceptionalism in the Presbyterian Church in America. I'll talk to you then.